The US Secretary of State John Kerry is on his way to the Middle East for talks on building an international alliance against the Islamic State. John Kerry will visit Jordan and Saudi Arabia, and he's called on Iraq to join the US-led coalition. Washington has hailed Iraq's new unity government as a major milestone and a crucial step towards defeating the armed Sunni group. The new Prime Minister, Haider al-Abadi, has named his government, with key posts being shared by the Shia Arab majority and the Sunni Arabs and Kurds. Professor George Joffe is a leading Middle East analyst at Cambridge University. Professor Joffe, welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Thank you.
Can we say that this new government of Iraq that was just named yesterday is really a true unity government?
I don't think so. I think that's going to be a little premature. That's to say that we've had unity governments before. Most Iraqi governments have had a spread of Sunni and Shia and Kurdish members. But in practice, and certainly under Mr. al-Maliki, who was the previous prime minister, they've not been able to exert any pressure on the prime minister himself. So we wait to see whether on this occasion the new cabinet that's being proposed really will provide the kind of integration and the kind of incorporation of the Sunni that they've been demanding as part of the price that's got to be paid if they're going to help defeat the Islamic State.
What about on the balance of, besides, of course, it all comes down to how it works together in practice, but on the balance, obviously the Prime Minister is a Shia Islamist, key posts like the Foreign Minister and the Oil Minister also Shias. On the list itself, are the Sunnis and the Kurds well and equally represented?
Well, it would appear on the face of it that they are, but the real issue is going to be to see how in practice they deal with the relationships between the majority Shia population and the Sunni population in particular, but also the Kurds as well. Each group has got its own particular resentments against previous governments and against the federal government in Baghdad, and unless their resentments are satisfied, they're not going to cooperate. That's particularly important with the Kurds, because the Kurds at the moment are providing the main drive to defeat the Islamic State. But the Sunni too are important because they're the people who've been aligning themselves with the Islamic State and confronting the government in Baghdad. So unless in some way Mr. al-Abadi is able to demonstrate that he really is going to show a fair approach to all the various groups concerned, the new government isn't going to really mean very much.
How would he do that, George? How would he demonstrate that quickly?
Well, what he's got to do very quickly is to demonstrate to those leaders of the Sunni tribes who are still prepared to support the government that he will provide them with the kind of material support they need to confront the Islamic State. He's then got to demonstrate to the Kurds that he's not going to cause problems over the question of the relationship of Kirkuk to Kurdistan. The Kurds have an outstanding territorial claim on Kirkuk. And that also the Kurds are going to be able to export their oil independently from Iraq into Turkey and other neighboring states. If he can do that, and at the same time keep the Shia majority on board, then he'll succeed. If he can't, I'm afraid he's going to fail.
All this has to happen relatively quickly because the threat of Islamic State is now, and there's a global coalition building against it, which you'd think the Iraqi government wants to have a very significant role in directing or being a part of. You mentioned the Kurds. The Kurds are up front with what they want. They say their participation in any kind of unity government is conditional on all outstanding issues between Baghdad and Kurdistan being resolved within 3 months. I guess that's talking primarily about Kirkuk, but also on the government paying Kurdistan's budget allocation, which they say has been withheld for more than 9 months, that being paid within 1 week. Can you explain what that might be?
Yes, the point there is that under the constitution, Kurdistan is entitled to 17% of the oil revenues of the federal state. And over the last 9 months, because of arguments about the independence of the production of oil in Kurdistan itself and the right of the Kurds to export it unilaterally, that money has been withheld. Now, they're demanding that the back sums that should have been paid to them should now be paid. And that's the price for their cooperation. The issue of Kirkuk is slightly longer term because what they're demanding there is that eventually the government in Baghdad is prepared to recognize their right to Kirkuk or to some compromise that gives them an added status inside Kirkuk. But that they will wait. The real issue is the question of the back payment of oil revenues due to Kurdistan.
And does Iraq have that money in the coffers to pay?
Has certainly got the money. It's been earning over $100 billion a year.
So 17% of that is a lot.
Oh, it certainly is. And this is one reason why the Kurds are so insistent that they should receive it. But that's really up to the cabinet itself, and particularly to the oil minister, who is notoriously recalcitrant in actually providing the money to the Kurds. And that, if you like, is the first test that Mr. Al-Abadi faces.
Who in this oil minister, do we know who that is, who the new oil minister is?
Well, the old oil minister is Mr. Shahristani, and he, in a sense, is a very powerful figure. It's going to be very difficult to avoid him being incorporated yet again. And even if he's not directly incorporated as the actual minister, his influence is going to be felt. And therefore, in a sense, the problems of the past are going to be repeated in the future unless Mr. Al-Abadi can exercise a considerable control over his new cabinet. And there's no evidence yet that he can.
Well, speaking of influence, I noticed that Nouri al-Maliki, the former prime minister, who is the man really often being blamed for the conditions that gave rise to Islamic State in Iraq or its potency there, he's still there as a former, as a vice president. Is that a position of any influence ongoing?
Oh, it could.
And is
well
that a mistake?
Be. Well, it's a mistake that couldn't be avoided. The fact is that he already had built for himself a very powerful position inside the security services and inside the command of the army. And therefore, he is a force to be reckoned with, even though he's been maneuvered out from the prime ministerial position. He, therefore, in a sense, is a force that Mr. Al-Abadi is going to have to confront. And how he's going to do that and minimize the danger that Mr. al-Maliki will try to interfere with the governmental process has yet to be seen. If Mr. al-Abadi can't do that, then he's going to turn out to be a very weak prime minister, and he'll be outsmarted by the powers inside the Shia establishment that are determined that they should remain in charge. If that occurs, the Sunnis will not cooperate, nor will the Kurds. And that will mark the next crisis that the Iraqi government will have to face.
It's 17 minutes to 7 on Breakfast. Our guest is Professor George Joffe, a leading Middle East analyst from Cambridge University and a regular foreign affairs commentator for us here on Breakfast. George Joffe, John Kerry is heading to the region, the Middle East now, trying to build a coalition that includes Middle Eastern armies and support. I guess he's visiting Jordan, he's visiting Saudi Arabia. Obviously, Iraq is going to need to be a part of it. For this to happen quickly, the Iraqi government needs to, or the new prime minister needs to be able to assert his authority. There'll be a lot of pressure from America and a lot of support, I would imagine, for him too. How important then the key posts of defence minister and interior minister in this new Iraqi cabinet, which have not been named yet? Do you think America will be trying to have a hand on who fills those positions, in who fills those positions?
I think the United States is going to be primarily very concerned indeed about the ability of the new government to discharge its responsibilities in confronting the Islamic State. And that means that the Defense Ministry and the Interior Ministry are absolutely key. We don't know who they're going to be yet. Undoubtedly, that's partly because of ongoing disputes, probably between the Sunnis and the Shia, about who should actually fill that position. And they're going to be positions that are key also, in a sense, of bringing the Sunni on board. So I think Mr. Kerry is going to go there and try and knock some heads together. How successful he'll be, we don't know. We do know that as far as President Obama is concerned, the full constitution of the new government is going to be absolutely essential for deciding whether America will move on to the second stage, beyond just simply aiding with air support, to actually retraining and re-equipping the Iraqi army and try to make it into a viable military force. At the moment, it is not. A large part of the fighting has been borne not only by the Kurds, Peshmerga, but also by Shia militia, not by the regular armed forces. And they've got to be restored to some very similitude of effectiveness before the Americans can feel confident that their initiative is going to really bear fruit.
And just very briefly, George Joffe, what do you think of John Kerry flying into Saudi Arabia today, calling for their participation in some kind of coalition?
Well, indeed, it's been argued that unless the major states inside the Middle East participate too in this process and cease to rely simply on America to do the heavy lifting for them, the actual confrontation with the Islamic State is not going to be successful. The United States has made it very clear that it is not going to engage on the ground if it can possibly avoid it. And that means, therefore, that Saudi Arabia, and particularly the Saudi Air Force, quite apart from the Saudi land power, is essential to this process. And the Saudis, I think, are going to confront a very difficult series of choices. They're going to have to engage directly, not simply by providing financial support, in a process of trying to confront the major threat that faces not just Iraq, but them as well.
George Joffe, thank you very much for joining us again on Breakfast.
You're welcome.
Professor George Joffe is a leading Middle East analyst at Cambridge University in the UK. You're listening to Breakfast. It's 14 minutes to 7.